The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I think we have reason to celebrate, Lenny Kearns, because we have some new data with the PAGOP saying that the mail-in, the investment by the GOP in getting Republicans to get out there and do a mail-in ballot looks like it's working. You've been talking about this for a long time. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well, and welcome back.
Thank you.
How was Italy? Was Italy just as good as you thought it was going to be?
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. I have a little something for you. When you went to Italy, you brought me your olive oil, which I love.
Amazing.
Yes. So thank you so much. Yes. So, but it was wonderful, Linda. Thanks for asking. I have this cold.
Okay, well,
I don't know why I have the cold or allergies or whatever it is. So
yeah.
Excuse my nasal.
It's the Italy flu.
No.
Yes.
Well, before we get to the election data, I have booked, you know, I try to go to, and this is so embarrassing, but I do try to go to Graceland every couple of years, and I did already book my trip for this summer, so maybe I can call in live to your show from Graceland. Should we arrange something like that?
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
We can do a little Zoom. I can stand out in Elvis's meditation garden and call into the show.
I love it.
Are you kidding
Please.
Me? Yeah, let's do it.
That'd be huge.
Jeez, I'm really leaning into this whole Elvis thing.
Yes.
I mean, it's all out there. Everybody knows, so look, I can't hide it anymore.
I love it. We're all shook up. So
Before you go on, do you have any obsession that rivals her obsession with Elvis?
With Elvis?
Actually,
I don't know.
I might have one.
Huh?
One to put in
you
your
may
mouth.
Know it.
Yeah. President Trump?
Yeah, I'm a Trumpaholic.
I don't know.
Well, I have Trump memorabilia.
In my house, I have a guest room for when people stay over, and it is all decorated in Elvis. It's just like an Elvis
oh my
shrine.
Gosh.
And my family, I mean, everybody's just kind of used to it now. They're like, oh, yeah, we're staying in the Elvis room. But yeah, I
don't know if you're listening
totally
earlier, though, Linda. It did come out that Dawn does indeed have a shrine of past memorabilia of her radio history, including the platter she stole from Richie Ola.
Oh, yeah. I did not.
I heard her talking about that.
President
well, she deserved that.
Yes.
And she deserved that platter.
By golly. But in any event, let's move on. Now, Linda, you have talked for so long about the importance of Republicans getting on board with mail-in ballots. And it looks like that investment, now I'm forgetting when that the investment with the GOP, and they invested millions, I believe. You had reported this a while back. But it looks like that investment is paid off.
Right. So, absolutely. Because getting people out to vote takes just a lot of different methods. It takes a lot of different people working on it. And in 2024, we didn't just worry about like getting people out to the polls. We worried about chasing the mail ballots. We wanted to increase voter registration. I had this really massive poll watcher recruitment effort, and then also recruiting observers to watch the ballots being counted. And when all of that activity is going on, it was kind of hard to just even, take a step in Pennsylvania without hearing something about the election. And all of that activity does remind people that there's an election, and it helps really the get out the vote effort. So it's really an all in project. It's never just one thing that happens that increases the turnout. It's everything altogether. But we did, do a very intense effort to get people to return their mail ballots, because what you want to do when you're getting people to return mail ballots, you don't want to kind of, cannibalize people that you were already going to vote. Like, you don't want to just shift people who are going to vote on election day over to mail balloting, and then you're working with the same pool.
Right.
What you want to do is get those low propensity voters, the people who might not otherwise vote or who are only like a 50-50 chance that they're going to vote. So that's why that effort is so important. But I do want to remind listeners, if you look at the results from the presidential in 2024, 72% of our voters voted on election day. Only 28% voted by mail. So we can't, when we're talking about mail balloting, and it's very important, but we can't forget that the majority of our voters still do vote on election day, both Republicans and Democrats.
But I would say this, that when we look at the shift now, because there are so many more people who are union members, working people, people who work with their hands, electricians, plumbers, and that sort of thing, that seem to have said, boy, the Democrat Party left me, and they voted for Trump. And so those individuals, I believe, are the ones that that's the concern, because if you're working day to day, it's hard to get. I mean, I say this all the time when people say, oh, ha ha, you know, so Republicans lost so-and-so, you know, off your election. I'm like, yeah, because we Republicans, we work. We're working. And we're really busy. And we work long hours. And sometimes, believe it or not, it's hard to get out there if you're doing in person. I think that's why, Linda, it's important for those individuals to do the mail-in, because you'll, I would assume that you would then keep those people. They're not people who would have voted, like you're saying, in person, right?
Right. Yeah. That's, yeah. Those are the people. We're all classified, by campaigns. All of us voters are classified. Like, I'm a 4-4, you're a 4-4. That means we voted in four of the last four elections. So when we target voters, we know that you and I are going to turn out to vote. But then people are classified as 1-4s, 2-4s, 3-4s. And it's those low propensity voters, those 1-4s, those 2-4s that we want to encouraged to vote by mail, because there's a good chance that they might not show up on election day. So that's kind of how the deep dive in the data is done, to make sure that we get every single voter out. And in some of these local elections, off-year elections, there just unfortunately is not that the money, the resources to do that type of thing that we have in the presidentials, unfortunately. And you know, I always say there are no safe elections. You just never know what's going to happen, and you have to treat every election that it's as it's the most important thing in your life, because it is, and you just never know what's going to happen.
So what do you see next as far as, I mean, when you look at the numbers and the new data, and earlier on Kale and Company, I don't know if you heard, but Afin Koutsourambas was on with Nick Kale, telling us about the new data and the Pennsylvania mail-in ballots. So he was talking about it. I just thought, man, this is Linda's wheelhouse. This is what you've been talking about, looking on from the inside. But when I look at it, Linda, Democrats still, I mean, even though their numbers are down, it's still like almost 66% of Democrats do the mail-in ballots, whereas even though the Republicans are way up, they're still only at 26%+. Are there new investments to put out the word with the GOP to get more Republicans on board with doing mail-in ballots?
Well, in a year like this, Dawn, this is a state and local issue, so it depends on the state party and the local parties to make sure that they get out the vote in these elections. And I hope the efforts made, I'm not involved with the state or local party, but this year we have judicial elections. We have two statewide elections as far as a seat on the Superior Court and the Commonwealth Court, and then we have the retention elections for the Supreme Court, where when we elect a Supreme Court justice in Pennsylvania, they have a 10-year term, and after 10 years, we can say yes or no. So this year, we can say yes or no for three Supreme Court justices. Those justices are Democrat justices, so we, the voters, can say no, and then they would be removed. Now, that is so rare that that happens, and these elections usually don't have the type of, get out the vote efforts that the presidential does. So that's going to be a hard thing to do this year, to get those justices unseated.
Yeah, and that's my question to you, because I think a lot of people don't realize the split between a state-level run GOP and then Trump Force. So Trump Force 47, when people locally, you know, and I went to a bunch of those different meetings, and you did too. And so when you think of Trump Force 47, that was the national campaign that you're involved with, right? That not the
right, the Republican National Committee, okay. And then whenever the candidate is picked. So when Trump officially became the candidate, then kind of it all merges, you know, into one, and it's the RNC and the candidate. So that's, yeah, sure, that's the national level, and usually there's a lot more resources. They have a lot more fundraising capability, but all over the country, the RNC works with the local the local parties, and the local parties have to have their act together. And the RNC does help as much as it possibly can. But, you know, in these off-year elections, we do depend on the local parties to do all the get out the vote efforts, to continue to register voters, to make sure that we have poll watchers, make sure that we have poll workers. So it's a huge effort that the local parties and the state party needs to undertake. And sometimes when I see maybe the parties like putting things out on Twitter, and I think that that's or X, I know the name changed. I think that that's great, but not everybody looks at Twitter. Not everybody looks at social media. You have to get out voters with many, many different methods. And that's what we tried to do. We didn't just depend on radio appearances or social media. I mean, we were out in the community. We were, you know, hosting events. There's direct mail. There's making phone calls to voters. So it's really an all-encompassing effort. It's not just one method to get the voters out.
Now, let me ask you something. Is there an impact as far as the real ID deadline that's happening where people are required to get this real ID? In other words, does that somehow impact the voting in Pennsylvania? Because you now, well, theoretically, it's tougher to get a fake ID. Does that have, because we've heard about having to clear these voter rolls. You've talked about it. There have been, you know, journalists who've done investigative reports on both sides of the aisle, you know, even non-political. But is that the real ID coming to fruition finally after, what, 6 years? Because it was put off due to the pandemic. Does that have an impact?
Well, driver's licenses in general have an impact. And that's because, as we all know, Governor Shapiro had enacted what's called automatic voter registration. And at the time, all the conservatives were absolutely up in arms. Like, how could he do that? And basically what he did was he entered in an executive order that says, when you go to get your driver's license, previously we were asking you if you wanted to register to vote. Now what we're going to do is we're going to say, we're going to register you to vote unless you opt out. So unless the person at the DMV opted out, they would be registered to vote. And people were so upset about that. And I understand why, because I don't think that's good policy. I don't necessarily think the government should be that, you know, strong-handed in getting you to register to vote. However, I do think, and I think Shapiro is realizing this, that actually helped Republicans. Because if you really look at the data and you compare voters in, say, Philadelphia and Allegheny County, and then with the voters of all the red counties, it does appear that we started to gain a lot more voters in those red counties. Why? Well, those people in those red counties need something that a Philadelphian doesn't necessarily need, and that's a driver's license. So there's probably more people in all of these red counties out and get driver's licenses because they have to drive everywhere they go. So it's usually the first thing you do when you're of age. Whereas when you live in an urban area, not everyone's getting driver's licenses right away because not everybody drives, not everybody has a car. So I think a byproduct of that executive order was actually that we ended up registering more Republicans. And so if more people are now going to the DMV to get their real ID, it really depends on who's getting drawn there to get the real ID. Is it going to be more Republicans or more Democrats? But I don't think it's going to have any real effect on the voting, just because now we don't have voter ID. So your ID doesn't really, you know, impact that part of the voting.
Yeah, we still don't have it. Well, it's fascinating. What else is going on with you? So we'll find, when are you going to Graceland?
August. It's planned for August. So yeah, I'll get all that with Dan. But
this is going to be big.
Yeah, my pilgrimage. But you know, I also think people. I know that we won the election. Believe me, I know. I was heavily involved. But half of the country voted for the other side, and I think we just cannot forget that. And, you know, when you look at the voter registration statistics here in Pennsylvania, one segment that's really, really growing by leaps and bounds is the independents. Yeah. So Democrats are losing, you know, voters. We're gaining a few, but we're also, a lot of people are deciding, you know what, I don't want either party. And those are the voters that we're going to have to convince, because a lot of these the statewide elections are one on the margin. So, you know, those are voters who haven't really committed to either party. So that's a big deal. And a lot of people are still out there, they absolutely despise either Trump or Republican or conservative. And, you know, those voices are pretty strong. So we really can't forget that. Like, the battle is not won.
Well, when you look at this, who are those independents? What's the demographic on the more and more people who are? And I know that we've thought about being an open state as well. I don't know if there's still a conversation going. I have to look back. There was a conversation at one point to make it so that Pennsylvania, much like I think Minnesota was like this, where you, in other words, you can vote for either side. You don't have to register Republican or Democrat, but we have it so it's closed.
Right. We have what's called closed primaries. So we have a primary in May, and you can only vote in the primary for your party. So I'm a registered Republican, so I can only go and vote in the Republican primary. So there is some talk about opening up the primaries. And what that would mean is that you can, on election day, in the primary, no matter how you're registered, you can choose which primary you want to vote in. I, as a policy matter, do not agree with that. I don't think that that's a good idea. I think that we have parties for a reason. Yeah. And if you want to vote in the Republican primary, then vote as a Republican. Or register as a Republican. Same if you want to vote as a Democrat, register as a Democrat. And if you don't want to register for either party, I understand that, but that means that you're not part of that party, so you're not going to vote in the primary. Now, there are, you know, a lot of voices out there that want to change that. We'll see. I mean, it takes a long time for things to get through the legislature, so we'll see what happens on that. With regard to the people that I call independents, I was really lumping everybody together, because it's not just people who don't choose a party. Some of these people choose Libertarian or Green Party. So, you know, when I say that segment is growing, the numbers that I was talking about are really that's everybody who's not a Democrat or Republican. And it's really jumping. Like, from 2022, we had a little less than 15% of the Pennsylvania electorate was not a Democrat or Republican, 14.98%. By 2024 election, it was 15.9%. That was a whole percentage point of the electorate that decided, you know, they're not going to be Democrat or Republican. And percentage points are how these elections are won and lost in Pennsylvania, these statewide elections. So we have to keep an eye on those independents, you know, or are we as a party, are our policies speaking to those people, because we need their votes too. But we can't forget that. I know, and I know, obviously, it sounds like you have a Trump shrine in your house by what you were talking about this morning on the radio, but not everybody feels that way. And
right.
So we, you know, we really have to fight for every election.
So just to be clear, so as far as Pennsylvania, because we're one of 10 states, that, in other words, if those people are registered as an independent, they would not be able to vote in the closed primary system, right? If it's
right. So if there's if they're in a county, say, where there's a ballot question on the ballot or something else, there's still something for them to vote for. But no, they cannot vote as a Democrat or Republican. And you, when you hear people talk about that, they say, oh, those people are disenfranchising. We're denying them the right to vote in the primary. But we're not. If they want to vote in the primary, choose a side, choose a color. I'm going to be Democrat or Republican. And you know, candidates depend on a lot of data to figure out who their voters are. We have parties for a reason. And, you know, if you just let anyone vote in a primary, it really dilutes the strength of the party. And I think in Pennsylvania, what's happening is the Democrats want to see open primaries to try to dilute the strength of the Republicans. And right. I don't think, as a policy matter, that's a really good idea.
Well, we'll leave it there. Linda Kern, thank you so much. It's so great to chat with you. And this is so important. So thanks for keeping it alive in our minds. Thank you.
Dawn, welcome back. And Dan, thank you for playing the most awesome walk-up music of any Woo! Guest on your show.
Yeah, that's debatable. Yeah.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.